further make it more smooth, they have given some suggestions or recommendations wherein they suggest that this particular grievance procedure should be designed along with, you know, some representatives of trade union. So both the parties can, give their own views and suggestions while drafting this grievance procedure or making this grievance procedure. The union should be involved in framing a grievance procedure and its implementation. So, not only in designing, but while implementing this grievance procedure, trade unions should also participate in this particular grievance procedure or grievance resolution program. Reference of different types of grievances should be provided to the appropriate authorities. Guidelines for handling grievances. Now, if the person who is authorized to give solutions or resolve or recommendations on grievances, he should be well versed about, you know, how he has to go about solving a grievance. So, it's a sort of, you can say, a training should be given to him and some guidelines should be provided to him so that he is able to do it successfully on a very low level or the first stage of grievance resolvement. Investigate and handle each and every grievance. Talk with the employees about his grievance. Give him a good and full hearing with undivided attention. So here, when an employee, maybe of any level, comes to you and put his complaint or grievance in front of you, the person authorized should entertain the employee by listening it very carefully. Say for example, an employee, you know, he is already very much frustrated because this thought going in his mind, and now he has decided, you know, to put this grievance in front of particular authorized person. And if he is not capable enough to show attention to that employee may lose trust on him. So any solution recommended by that particular authorized person may not be accepted by the employee. So here, if this person, authorized person, tries to give attention and hear it very carefully, employee also builds some kind of trust and relationship with that person. Comply with all the procedural requirement and time limits. So already we have discussed about what is the procedure and what are the time limits over here. So within that stipulated time, authorized person should try to resolve this grievance. Visit the work areas where the grievance arose and ascertain if there were any witnesses. So in some grievances, we need to actually verify the grievance, the authenticity of that grievance. So what we do is, we go to the workflow where the grievance has come from and we need to identify whether there were some witnesses of this grievance or no. Determine if there has been equal treatment of employees in grievance redressal. Now this becomes very important. Now say for example, in an organization there may be many employees who may approach the authorized person or committee for resolving their grievances. But if they understand that my grievance was not given that much of weightage or importance and the other person's grievance was given more importance and weightage, it was resolved very quickly, whereas my grievance was put on hold, there were certain delays happened when I actually complained. So this will again give a rise to a grievance. So we should avoid this. We should try to complete it in a stipulated period and we should give equal importance to, you know, every employee. Analyze the facts, look for precedents, if any, set in that matter. Now what happens, there are certain grievances which are repeated in nature, okay, which may be minor or major, but they are very repetitive in nature. So if we have, you know, faced certain kind of grievances in past, we can refer those grievances how they were resolved. Fully examine the past and present record of the grievant. Now it becomes very important again to, you know, identify whether the complainant, whether the person or the employee who has complained is genuine or not. So checking on the genuine grounds, we should go and, you know, refer his past and present records. identify the relief the union individual is seeking for. And this we will understand only by talking with the employee. What kind of solution he is looking for? Hold your grievance discussion privately. That means whenever you are discussing about the grievance with an employee, you should take care that there is only employee and you who are there in this discussion, and try to make it private. Provide the grievance process to all the employees, including non-union members. Further, satisfy the right of the union to relevant information. Now, sometimes while resolving this grievance, we have, actually visited the workplace, taken information from the witnesses present over there, and we collect information regarding the employee and the grievance. So at times it may be possible that even the trade union may interfere and they want information on the particular grievance. So it is a right of union to know about how this grievance is taken care of. Ensure that proper productivity levels are maintained during the processing of grievance and regarding incentives. So you are while solving the grievance, at the same time we do not ignore the productive level of that particular employee, and we try to maintain that. Settle grievances on the basis of what is fair and just. So here we need to resolve the grievance. We actually want the employee to be very happy and satisfied. But just to make him happy and satisfied, we cannot ignore what is right and what is wrong. So ultimately the solutions, the recommendations which are provided in the grievance procedure should be fair and just, so that it doesn't affect the other employee or the fellow members working in that particular department or organization. Take a decision and look for organizational implications of the likely solutions. And now just giving recommendation and solutions are not going to work. We need to take care that the recommendations and the solutions are finally implemented on the workflow. Follow up to evaluate the impact of redressal decision on the morale of the aggrieved worker as well as on the other employees. Now at times what happens is we have given some solutions and recommendations to the employee. We implement those recommendations, but then sometimes the employee is still unhappy and satisfied, but then he is not willing to go to a second stage or the higher level of authority and he leaves there on. So it may be that we are under an impression that now our employee is satisfied, but it is not the case. So here what we do is, after the implementation of solution and recommendation, we actually try to identify whether the employee or the grievant is now satisfied with the solution and recommendation or not. Evaluation of grievance redressal machinery. Now what happens, we have certain models or procedure which we have set for an organization, but it may need a change time to time. Now say for example earlier when we had industrialization phase, so at that time the model or the procedure that we have adopted in our industry to resolve grievances may differ to now what currently we are into the phase of technology or say digitalization. We may implement those modern changes in our grievance committee as well. It is advisable for an organization to periodically evaluate its formal grievance procedure against the three criteria: the grievance rate, the settlement rate, the settlement level. That means the grievance rate means number of complaints received say in a particular period, whatever, in a month or maybe in 3 months, in 6 months. So number of complaints received, whether they are decreasing in nature, whether they are increasing in nature. Say for example, last year the number of complaints received in a particular department is 100. And this year the number of complaints received in that particular department is 120. So here the number of complaints have increased by 20%. So again that is very critical. Why it is increasing? though we have a setup or though we have a committee who is continuously trying to resolve this grievances, but it also becomes important to focus that there are less number of grievances. Then the settlement rate, how many of these grievances were settled? That means finally we were able to satisfy the employee. So say for example, last year out of 100 complaints made from a particular department, say 85 were resolved or 85 were settled. So you're 85%, but this year say 75 was the settlement rate. So it is decreasing, which should actually increase. Last year we had only 85 people who were satisfied with our decision. This time we have only 75. So this number should increase. The settlement level. So when we talk about level, that means now we have studied various levels or stages of grievance redressal. So we here try to identify grievances and solve grievances at a very initial stage or a very initial level. So now say for example, in that particular department last year, out of 100 grievances, say 30 were taken to higher authority and 70 were resolved at the very first level or the very first stage. And this year, say only 20 were taken to higher authority and 80 were taken care of in the first level itself. So that is a good sign. That means our redressal procedure is really going well, smooth, and we are able to resolve the grievances at the very first level itself. A personal administrator should ask following questions. Were the parties involved able to identify and agree upon what was at stake? So here, how do we know that the solutions and recommendations that are being given by the grievance committee or the authorized person is being accepted by the unions or employee or not? So here we identify this by say whether the party were involved in accepting those grievance solutions or recommendation. Were they agreeing upon whatever was given to them, or they still had a debate on that? Was the incident closed with a sense of satisfaction? That means, was the employee satisfied with the given solution or recommendation, or he was in a mindset to further taking it to higher authorities, or was he really satisfied? Did the solution result in a better understanding and a better adjustment between the supervisor and his subordinate? That means ultimately we are expecting good results of this grievance settlement. Did the solution contribute to operational efficiency? That means once the grievance was solved, whether that employee now is giving full-fledged, whether he is efficient and whether he is productive or not. Has the case strengthened the line authority? That means, are we now able to build up more trust between employer and employee or that particular committee and the employee who had grievance or conflict? Was there any spread of understanding to others? Looking at this grievance resolved or solutions or recommendations given on a particular grievance, were the other employees in that particular department or industry, did they had a sense of understanding, increased sense of understanding? What are the common grievances? So, say out of a list of grievances, we may identify what are the common grievances or what are the repetitive grievances. From which department do grievances normally originate? That means, what is the source of grievances? What is the source of conflict? How many grievances are presented monthly? What type of employees usually report grievances? So here what we are doing, we are further analyzing this list of grievances. How many, from where, who is reporting such type of complaints, what level of employees generally participate in this grievance procedure, etc. What percentage of grievances are solved at the lowest level? As I have already discussed, that what was the percentage of the grievance which was resolved at the very first level or at a very first stage? How quickly does the management respond to the grievance? What are the perceptions of employees about the fairness of the procedure? So here we need to take some feedback from employees that how much do they consider their organization to be very fair or say just, whether they were able to justify to their grievances or not. So when we know what are the rights, what are the benefits, or what are the procedure of grievances, the other part of the coin says that there should be always a discipline. Now when there is discipline or certain rules, regulation and a control mechanism, there are possibilities of less number of grievances occurring in an organization. Discipline may be defined as an attitude of mind which aim at inculcating restrained orderly behavior and respect for and willing obedience to a recognized authority. Now here we try to understand this definition of discipline by taking an example. Now say a employee is working in an organization. So his attitude towards his own workplace, towards his supervisor, towards his manager. So say for example, he himself thinks that I don't want to come late to work. So he has a positive attitude towards his own work. Now when he thinks that whatever instructions given by my supervisor is for my benefit. So here again he is having that positive attitude towards his or her supervisor and manager. So here when we say imposing too much of control is not required, too many rules and regulations are not required, but say take it vice versa, employee himself has a very negative approach or say very lethargic attitude towards his work, he comes always late, he takes too much of leaves and he has that negative attitude towards his supervisors or managers, thinking that this particular whatever the supervisor's guidelines are just to demotivate him. So he has that negative attitude. So where there is high level of positive attitude, automatically discipline comes in place. And with say increasing number of employees which have negative attitude towards its work and workplace, high level of discipline is required, and this discipline is nothing but control mechanism which will help us to reduce the number of grievances. Discipline is the force that prompts an individual or a group to observe the rules, regulations and procedures. So every employee may not be having or carrying that positive attitude within him. So we need to, you know, frame some rules, regulations and policies which bring all the employees under one roof, say regarding timings, number of leaves taken, working hours, etc. It is fear of a force which restrains an individual or a group from doing things which are deemed to be destructive of group objective. Now say too much of wastages. Okay, so maybe out of say 10 employees, 4 are working so smoothly and there are no wastages. But the other 6 in the group are doing too much of wastages. So what will happen, particularly in that department, cost of reduction will go high, which is not good for the other 4 who are really working hard and taking care that there should be no wastages. So why not to make some rule or regulation for all those 10 employees so that this all these 10 employees are under one rule and they have to, you know, maintain a low wastage policy. The main aims and objectives of discipline are to obtain a willing acceptance of rules so that every employee accept the common rules designed, to develop a spirit of tolerance among the employees, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable from the employees. To give and seek direction and responsibility, to that means to create sense of responsibility equally among all employees. To create an atmosphere of respect for human personality. To increase working efficiency and morale of the employees. To impart an element of certainty. causes of violation of discipline. Now, these are some causes, or I can say reasons, for why generally employee, you know, violate the rules or discipline, or why they are not acting disciplined. So some of them are like frustration, absence of sense of responsibility, etc. Discipline maintenance system. So now here we are looking forward to design a system wherein automatically the employee have to, you know, work in a manner which is supposed to be called as disciplined manner of working, or say disciplined behavior at workplace. The rules must gear to be organizational need. They should be flexible to suit different categories of the employees. So whenever we are designing such a system, we should take care of all level of employees, and we design such a system which can be easily implementable at any level. The rules and regulations should be appraised at frequent and regular intervals to ensure that they are appropriate, sensible and useful. So, say once we have designed the system, it becomes very important on a regular interval. We need to have a check on it, whether such system is still suitable, or we need to change, or we need to make some changes in the existing system. Approach to educate the rules and regulations of discipline. The rules of discipline embedded in the standing orders or in the company's manual must be properly and carefully communicated. Now, here we are not only talking about, you know, designing some rules, regulation. As I told you, equally important is to communicate, because here we have different level of employees who will not be that educated, or who may not be that understanding that he automatically understands the system. So here it becomes equally important to communicate this system or rules and policies which are designed, you know, to have a proper disciplined environment to the employees. And not only communicating, it should have an acceptance from the employees also. Because if the employees are not accepting whatever you have designed, ultimately what they will do is they will not follow the rules and regulation, and that will break the rule of discipline. Approach to enforce the rules and regulation of discipline. The responsibility of maintaining employee discipline should be entrusted to a responsible person or a line executive. So here we are making a person authorized and also responsible to communicate such rules, regulations and control mechanism to the workers, and getting it done on the workplace. If some is not following the disciplinary rules, in spite of education and training, disciplinary action should be taken in private. So now what happens is, only designing, implementing but not controlling will not help us to have a smooth disciplinary system in an organization. So first we have, you know, planned it accordingly, we have designed it, and now we have implemented this disciplinary act, system in our organization. Few may follow it willingly and few may not follow it. So those who are not following, we should have some mechanism to say punish them, or to take some actions on them, so that they also try to follow the mechanism which others are following. The main objective is to ensure that a work wrong behavior is corrected, and not to punish the wrong doer. That means here we are not behind giving punishments, but if one person is adhering to the rules and regulations and other is not, and if he is just left like that, the other person who is following gets demotivated. So your intention is not to punish him, but we want that all should, you know, be under one roof, following the same sets of rules and regulations. A punitive action must satisfy the principle of neutral justice. While awarding punishment, the management should keep in mind following factors. Now, when we are talking about certain people or certain employees who are after regular information, communication, are not following the rules and regulation, we now have decided to take some action. So, what are the points that we need to consider while taking such disciplinary actions? Seriousness of the offense. past employment records, the lapse of time since the last incidence of misconduct, possible mitigating factors, organization's decision on similar cases in the past. Ideal mechanism for enforcement of discipline is a workman guilty of misconduct. Maybe first what he can be done is he can be warned. Say for example, once he has not followed of certain sets of rules and regulation. Say for example, he is regularly coming late to his workplace. So we can warn him that see, we have observed you are coming late since last so many days. So now you have actually given him a warning to come on time. Still, he may not be, you know, following to the rule. What next we can do is find in accordance with the provision. So maybe we can fine him, and that particular fine has to be recorded somewhere in the provision. That means the mechanism what you have designed, that should have provisions of such fine, that for particular kind of offense this much fine will be taken from the employee. Suspended by an order in writing for a period of not exceeding 4 days. So here we can suspend an employee after being, you know, warned several times, after being fined also you are not coming on time. So we may suspend that employee, but not more than 4 days. Dismissed without notice. Final thing what we can do, we actually don't want this type of employees in our organization because they are anyways not contributing. So finally we have tried a lot, you know, to improve that particular employee so that he follows the rules and regulation and behaves in a disciplined manner. But ultimately we have no choice, but we have to dismiss that employee, and we have a choice here to give notice or else we can remove him without notice also. No order shall be made under above unless the workman concerned has been informed in writing of alleged misconduct or given an opportunity to explain the circumstances against him. So here the point is that we cannot just remove the employee. We have to, you know, follow the procedure. That means first we actually warn, then we fine, then we dismiss, and then only we can remove the employee. No order of dismissal shall be made under above except after holding an inquiry against the workman concerned in respect of the misconduct. So that says that whatever type of misconduct he has done, I have given you an example of coming late to work, but there may be some other misconducts as well on which the employee may deny that I have not done this. So proper inquiry has to be, you know, set up before dismissal of such employees. It is the employee's responsibility to follow the company's rule and working procedure. So here, when a company has communicated well in advance certain sets of rules and regulation, it becomes binding on an employee to follow the rules and regulation of the company. It is management's responsibility to correct an employee's poor performance or behavior through informal counseling by employee's immediate supervisor. So the previous one what we spoke about was formal way of communicating to an employee, but informally we can do it through, you say, counseling through supervisors and managers. Now here we do not punish any employee without a fair hearing and opportunity to put his or her case. So when we talk about dismissal, that is an extreme case. So prior to this dismissal, what we have to do is we give both the parties equal chance. That means sometimes it may be a case that we have misunderstood about the misconduct of an employee. So we here give opportunity to the employee to give clarifications on his side. The management will apply the formal disciplinary process only when informal counseling has been unsuccessful and actions of employee are such that informal counseling is inappropriate. Here we have tried counseling the employee in an informal way, but when we are now sure that this counseling is not going to help, then only we take disciplinary actions. The management will seek to act fairly and consistently. So to have discipline, it is important that management also has to be fair and equal and should give equal treatment to all the employees irrespective of their levels. No disciplinary action or dismissal should be taken without full inquiry, and employee should not be dismissed for a single incident of misconduct unless it is a gross misconduct. That means any misconduct, if you know the frequency is just one and if it is not repeated again and again, we cannot dismiss the employee. We may give him warnings and we may take fines further when the frequency is increased number of times, then only we are going to dismiss a particular employee. The management will give an opportunity to the employee to appeal against any disciplinary action to the appropriate authority within a specified time limit. So, your still employee has an opportunity to approach any specified authority if he is not satisfied, if he thinks that the action taken against him was wrong. So, he may go and approach to the appropriate authority. To maintain discipline in industry, there has to be a just recognition by employers and workers of the rights and responsibilities of the other party. That means it's just a matter of mere and clear communication. There has to be a proper and willing discharge by either party of its obligation consequent on such recognition. To ensure better discipline in industry, management and union agree to no unilateral action should be taken, dispute should be settled at appropriate level. Existing machinery for settlement of dispute should be utilized with utmost expedition. Here again, not talking about discipline, implementing discipline, but when there is a friction or a conflict between employee and management regarding this discipline, we also have a disciplinary mechanism or a machinery wherein we can, resolve such disputes. Affirming faith in democratic principles, settling all future grievances by mutual negotiation, conciliation and voluntary arbitration. So here we agree to certain points such as resolving the grievances by mutual negotiation. That means taking due consideration of both the parties. Neither party will have recourse to coercion, intimidation, victimization and go slow. Further, to ensure better discipline in industry, both management and union agrees to some common points. Some of them which are discussed here are, they will avoid litigation, sit down, stay in strikes. Now, the strikes are done by employees union, that is trade unions or a group of employees. So, these are different types of strikes they have discussed, sit down, stay in, go slow, etc. And lockouts are being done by the employer. That means employer will declare lockout. So that is not good for the employees. Whereas strikes when declared are not good for both employee and employer. They will promote constructive cooperation. That means whenever such disciplinary actions are being taken, they will cooperate while this procedures. They will establish a mutually agreed grievance procedure. That means this grievance procedure, the dispute procedure, the disciplinary action should be agreed commonly by both the parties. They will educate management personnel and workers regarding their obligations to each other. They both fulfill responsibilities towards each other. Management agrees to not to increase workloads unless agreed upon, not to support unfair labor practices, select the grievance properly, settle the grievance properly. And union agrees to not to engage in any form of physical threat or violence. Now what happens whenever there is a grievance or say disciplinary action taken place against one employee, what happens is now the group of employee may become violent and they may do physical damages on the workplace. So the union will agree to this point that any point of time whenever some disciplinary action is being taken place, they agree that they will not enter into violence. Not to permit demonstrations, no union activity during working hours, to discourage negligence of duty, carelessness, operations, damage to property, disturbance to normal work and insubordination. So all this will be avoided in the working hours. To express disapproval against office bearers for indulging in against the spirit of this code. So here we have discussed about how the grievances takes different forms if not taken care of properly, and then levels of grievance, recommendations. So as much as possible, a company or an organization should try to resolve the grievance at a very initial level, so there is not so much wastage of time. But at the same time, when we are empowering, employees with these type of weapons, we also ensure that there is a proper control mechanism through proper discipline. And if the discipline are not followed, we need to have a smooth disciplinary action or a mechanism wherein we have a tight control. Under one roof, we entertain all types of employees and we try to give decisions based on equality. Thank you.